Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thought, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio. Sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation, Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.
Good evening. This is Fountain City Radio. I am your host this evening, Pastor Sharon Renee from Open Book Ministry, coming at you live at 6:30 p.m. We canceled our 6 o'clock show, changed it to 6:30 just for tonight. Typically it's 6 o'clock. But I had to go into a time of prayer, speaking to the Lord about the different things that are going on, because it occurred to me a very long time ago that sex is not supposed to be a bad thing, created by God to be a good thing. Mankind, humanity in general, turned it into something instead of godly, gosh awful. Sex has been perverted, and it was particularly disgusting to read in the Columbus, Georgia Ledger Inquirer just today that there was a disturbance going on between two buildings at the New Horizon Behavioral Center, and some people were calling the police about two men engaged in homosexual activity in broad daylight in front of everybody in a place where they were easily seen, which caused basically a ruckus enough to have the police called in and have these men arrested, who at first initially said that they weren't doing anything. And then, of course, caught in the act, they turned around and changed their story and said that they were, in fact, doing what they were accused of doing. And I don't know how they could have denied it when people were standing right there watching them, and then the cops were just being called. A barrage of calls to the police department about these men causing a disturbance while having sex behind a Columbus business is what the headline said. And it just brought back to mind to me these two old black gentlemen. I'm not calling any names. They know who they are. But basically, the story reads, several people saw two men having sex Wednesday afternoon behind a mental health organization in Columbus, according to testimony Thursday in the reporter's court. And the case was found over to state court to Judge Julius Hunter. And apparently this act, this egregious act, happened at, were called to the New Horizons Behavioral Health Organization on 2nd Avenue, around 12:10 p.m., right in the middle of the afternoon in broad daylight, to investigate a public indecency incident. And there were two men having sex between the maintenance building and New Horizons, and several others also witnessed the incident. It caused a disruption, obviously, to all the patients inside. So, like we said, the man, one of the men, said that he initially denied it, and then he turned around and said he actually did do it. People, come on, really, Columbus, Georgia. This is in the middle of what is supposed to be the Bible Belt of the United States of America. I understand the first thing that pastors and preachers want to say is don't start blaming us for stuff that other people do. But, you know, to hear Natasha David Walker tell it and all of the people that she interviewed for her book, Sex and the Saints, is going on in the church too. The church is not only down with the cause, but endorsing it and engaging in it. And I want people to understand something. I fully understand the engagement endorsement of sex itself as created by God. I mean, initially, on first approach, God created sex not only to be something good, but in order for two people to be considered married, to one another, they had to engage in a sexual act. Okay, they had sex in order to be considered married. There was no getting of a marriage license. There was no applying to the state for making it legal and standing before a preacher or a judge. All they had to do was have sex, and they was married. In the eyes of God, I take that to mean that anybody you have sex with, you're married to, in the eyes of God. But after a while, mainly and mostly through the ascent of the Roman Catholic Church, marriage became a thing that had to be legal. Maybe even just prior to that, it became legalized where you had to go through a government to get a piece of paper that basically said that you were married legally, or as far as man is concerned, you weren't married at all. Man changing that which God had ordained in the world causes a whole lot of issues. But right here in Columbus, Georgia, it's gotten to the point where it's just that bad, you can almost put a label on it and call it Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, not Columbus, Georgia, but Sodom and Gomorrah. But this ain't really particular to Columbus. It's not particular to Columbus. It's all over the country, all over the world. Other sex acts and things of that nature is former janitors used Instagram to contact two middle school girls about sex, police say. That just happened recently right here in Columbus, Georgia. Two little middle school girls, I'm talking about, had to be somewhere, well, I'm about to say between 12 and 14 years old. It says they were 12 and 13. A man and a woman who worked at a Columbus middle school used Instagram to send nude photos to 12 and 13-year-old girls to meet for a threesome. The man was 39 and the female was 32. Okay, that was put in the hands of Judge Julius Hunter also. Okay, and the charges were bound over the Muskogee Superior Court. People giving their children cell phones. Your children don't have any business talking to anybody on a cell phone that isn't closely related to them anyway. But then nowadays you got relatives out here who are actually getting their own children involved in premature sexual activity. Here's what these are grown folks. These are grown folks soliciting little children, 12 and 13-year-olds. And little children out here actually, to tell you the truth about it, being promiscuous. Enough to be solicited sometimes, though it's not really their fault. They come into this world with the softcore porn on TV, all the television shows peddling sex to them. Parents watching pornography and all this other kind of stuff, and they get introduced to it very young in life. Even, you know, my own son has told me that I need to get with it and understand that
sexist this and sexist that, as if I didn't know that before he was born. And I told him, I said, that's beside the point. I said, it's just not something I do, something I care for, something I want to talk about with my son, with my own child. I said, that's something you talk to another man about, not your mother. You know, and unfortunately for my children, they grew up without a father. And so a whole lot of what they learned about sex and life had to come from other people, uncles and other male friends who were not necessarily good people, nor did they teach them or tell them the right thing. They got a whole lot of their sexual orientation in life from pretty vile people. That's all I can say. And then at the end of the day, it comes down to a personal choice about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and whether or not you're going to do things this way, that way, the other way, or a third. And it reads, sexual violence is a social and public health problem in the U.S. The National Intimate Partner and Sexual Violence Survey says nearly one in two women and one in five men experience sexual violence victimization other than rape at some point in their lives. And that's from the CDC. We got a church on every corner and three or four storefront churches in between those corners, and still there, right here in Columbus, Georgia. I'm not saying that Columbus, Georgia is exempt from all the other cities in the world. I'm saying, good Lord, you would think with all the pastors and preachers and churches all over this town, you would think that stuff like this just wouldn't happen all out in the open, and especially wouldn't happen in the church. So I was reading a portion of the book, Sex and the Saints, by Natasha David Walker. The book, I understand, was supposed to have been released around December, just in time for World AIDS Day. And she has a lot to say in this book that people really should read and connect with. And once again, the name of the book is Sex and the Saints, and it's written by Natasha David Walker about some of the sex perversions and the sexual abuse going on inside of the church. And if it's going on inside of the churches, then there's no way anybody can blame the world for being what they are. If it's happening in places where it shouldn't be happening, then it ought to be happening outside the church, and nobody can blame them for being what they are, because there's no moral standard. There's no moral standard anymore. There's no guard. There's no protectors in our communities. Even with our children, like there used to be, there are no more protectors. And that's the shame of it all is that seems to be just the way it is. You know, you have a whole lot of people out here talking about it, but nobody really doing anything about it. A lot of people talking about it, but nobody really doing anything. Everybody's just running their mouths. Nobody is handling business. Everybody's just talking about it, blah, blah, blah. But nobody's really doing anything about it. Just talking. And it seems like a lot of us, particularly African-American people, have a tendency to run all over the place and run all over the place, hair on fire, walking about everything, but nobody's doing anything. Everybody just wants to sit around and have something to talk about, I guess. And it's almost as if you're not going to do anything about it, why are we even having this discussion? Why bother discussing it if we're not going to do anything about it? So, that said, that's what this conversation was supposed to be about tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be back on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with our next topic at hand right here in Columbus, Georgia, in the Fountain City area. We're hoping to bring Ms. Natasha David Walker onto the show soon. February 7th is National Black HIV AIDS Day, and then March 10th is National Women and Girls AIDS Day through the World AIDS Organization and the CDC, Center for Disease Control. We know that when it comes to sex and the saints in the church and whatever, all pastors are not guilty of this type of thing, but you know, it's gotten to the point now where you can't even walk up in churches anymore without women in the church or pastors' wives or whatever being jealous of other women or feeling like they got to worry about other women hitting on their husbands and being unfaithful. And right here in Columbus, Georgia, I've seen women who just feel like, I guess, that they're supposed to be the first leader of the church, actually break up marriages where God put a man and woman together and told them what God put together, let no man put asunder. And these women have literally come up in church, bogarted their way up in churches and broke up marriages, trying to be the first lady of the church. And they ain't even their position. That's not even where they belong. If they belonged there, they would have been the man's first wife in the first place. You know, they don't even belong there. They just bogarted their way into that situation, broke up their marriage, I don't know, trying to wear hats, big hats and cute clothes and walk around and have people throwing diamonds and pearls and necklaces at them. And so they can walk up in the mall and buy $300 pairs of shoes and purses and all this, that, the other, and the third, so they can be the first lady of the church. Breaking up marriages to get in positions that they don't belong in. If they belonged in that position, they wouldn't have had to break up a marriage to get there in the first place. Okay, and that's a God's honest truth. But you have to wonder, when you listen to this kind of thing, and when this kind of a thing goes on constantly inside the church, you no longer wonder about the enemies, people out there doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, you know, don't squawk at the devil about being a devil when you basically or someone you know is engaging in the same behavior. The devil, when it comes down to it, you know, for those who believe in a personal devil, is doing what he does best. So really, if you're in the church and you're engaged in this kind of activity, then you do have something to be guilty of. And you don't have any reason to be bawling and judging at anybody else because it's you too. You know, if you're going to do it, then you most certainly do not have the right to judge anybody else. I understand the guilt. You know, the guilt comes from being the type of person who engages in these activities. I get it. I know why you can be saved and be more afraid of the devil than you are of God. Because if you're doing the same thing or you're endorsing the behavior, if you're doing the same thing and you're endorsing the behavior, then there's nothing you can say. The guilt stays with you, and it should stay with you. And when I say you, I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just saying the guilt that is there is yours and it's real, and it should be because you're doing it too. I understand why people say, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Well, I mean, if you're doing it too or if you agree with it, you shouldn't judge. However, if you are indeed a sinner saved by grace, and his grace is sufficient, then you don't have any stain of guilt that you're carrying on you enough for you to go somewhere and hide when people are doing things you know darn well they shouldn't be doing, probably because you know they shouldn't or because you've done it yourself and you know it's wrong. But if you're still engaged in it or you're agreeing with it, then you do have a reason to run and hide and say you don't see anything wrong with it. You do have a reason to bring this type of perversion, perverted, deviant type of activity into your church, into your home, because as a person of God. You're not in disagreement with it. So the title of this show tonight was The Perversion of a Sacred Act. This is not a judgment. It's just a reality check. Once again, I recommend that you read the book Sex and the Saints, written by Natasha David Walker, because we got a lot of issues going on inside the church. And until we're healed inside of the church, then there's no point in even looking at what's going on out in the streets, even when it's two dirty old men in between a building in broad daylight engaging in sex with one another, right in plain view where everybody can see it in the church, and you are not speaking out on these behaviors and doing something to curb this kind of thing and preaching people free instead of just preaching them happy, then you really don't have anything to say about it. You're absolutely right. Your own stain of guilt is doing the talking for you. And like I said, when I say your own, I don't mean you personally. It means the people that are doing it, they know who they are. So that guilt should stay with you, because it's yours to hold on to for life. And if you're really trying to be free, not just happy, but also free, then you're going to have to put yourself in a position or in a state of mind where you stop doing what you're doing. I mean, freedom is happy. Being preached happy is one thing. Being preached free is another. You can be happy momentarily. But freedom, that's a lifetime. That's forever and always. And once I was preached free, I understood. Once I was preached free, I understood that nobody can make me feel guilty about something I no longer do. Nobody can make me feel guilty about something I've never done. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not one of those people who have engaged in any type of deviant sex, even though I've done things with people that I didn't care too much about. It was never, to my knowledge, with a married man. It was never with a man even who was engaged. I never cheated when I was married. I've never engaged in any deviant sex outside of my gender. That's never happened. And I've never been an addict, sex addict, drug addict, none of these types of addictions. I've never been an addict. I've never been addicted to anything. I've never had anything in my life that I couldn't put down. There was nothing that I wanted so much in this world that I was willing to give up my life to have it. Never been a prostitute, none of that stuff. Never did it, ain't going there. Never have, never will. I think that's probably one of the reasons why the enemy has tried to take me out of here on several occasions, because I'm one of few people that just haven't handed my life over to him like that. I'm human, like anybody else out here. I've done things that I now know that I had no business doing, but it didn't have anything to do with messing up somebody else's life. Basically, the things that I've done, I messed up my own. You know, that was a blight on me. It wasn't anything that hurt anybody else. Where I always draw the line at, where I've always drawn the line at, is hurting other people. That's just something I refuse to do. I hurt myself before I bring somebody else into the equation trying to hurt them. And if I did hurt somebody else, it sure wasn't intentional. I didn't mean to. And I'm sure if I did, I got my just desert, because my life hadn't been a crystal clear either. And I'm sure I got just exactly what I deserved if I did hurt somebody. And even so, it was never intentional. So we're 5 minutes and 15 seconds down into the show. If you're out there and you're listening, you can call in to 515-602-9677. Press 1 if you want to comment or ask a question. I'll be back on tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with our next topic for Columbus, Georgia, in the Fountain City area, in the Valley area, the Tri-City area. Columbus is here, Fort Benning, Phoenix City, Alabama, as well as Midland, Georgia, and all of these areas. And I also can be heard worldwide, to tell you the truth, but calling on my life in Columbus and some of the needs and some of the things that are going on in the Valley area were not being addressed properly. And in order for you to get on radio, this is nonprofit. And in order for you to get on radio and television nowadays, you got to be willing to choke up some money. So this is nonprofit radio, like NPR or Columbus. So we don't sell ads, but we do accept donations online on Facebook and on our page on Facebook called Fountain City Radio. So this is Pastor Renee, Serene Renee for Kingstown Family Foundation and Open Book Ministry. I'm going to be saying goodnight in just a few minutes. I want to thank you for calling in. I want to just thank you for listening. And we'll be back on tomorrow night at 6 p.m. with our show for tomorrow night. I always pray about these things and ask the Lord, so I'm not sure what topic we're going to have on for tomorrow night, but more than likely it's going to have something to do with foreclosures and predatory lenders here in Georgia that rob people of their homes. But I'm not sure yet. I usually pray about it and say, Lord, what shall we talk about tonight? So that's the way I do things. It's personal to me, but I come on the show to have a moment to talk to you about it as well. Thank you very much once again for joining me. I'm going to go ahead and clock out. It's 2 minutes and 35 seconds down into the show. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on Fountain City Radio. Thanks for joining me. God bless.
You're listening to the amazing Fountain City Radio in Columbus, Georgia, in the Valley and surrounding areas. News, thoughts, talk, speculation, and features with local talented artists and entertainers. Listen in or speak out. The choice is always yours, but tune in and get turned on, because good stuff is always coming at you on Fountain City Radio, sponsored by Kingstown Family Foundation. Fountain City Radio is designed with you and yours in mind.